Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Gary Charles. His sermon is entitled Malabariga and is based on scripture from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. Hear now from the sanctuary of Central Presbyterian Church on the 15th of May, 2016, the day of Pentecost, the Reverend Gary Charles.
In Paul's magnificent letter to the church in Rome, a church that he had not visited but longed to visit, in the middle of the letter, he speaks these words: I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not on its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The cover of the April 8th, 1966 edition of Time magazine announced the death of God. From Time magazine to seminary campuses, there was a relentless chorus that God is dead, and any hope to change a broken and decaying world now rests with us. The movement drew its inspiration from the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who in the 19th century pronounced God is dead, God remains dead, and we killed him. Well, sometime and somehow, almost inexplicably, God has made a comeback in the 21st century. Pollsters tell us that God is very much alive in the American public, and now it is not God, but it is the church that is dead. The vocation of those of us called as pastors and educators and church musicians, ruling elders and deacons, is then to give the church a decent funeral. The mantra of the 21st century is spiritual, but not religious. After all, if you have your own individual God, who needs a church community? Sociologists love to describe the dying and dead church. They tell us how churches are closing at rapid rates, not just Protestant churches, Catholic churches, evangelical churches. and how a vast majority of people are staying home on Sunday mornings, even in the Bible Belt of the U.S. Take a trip to most European cities and increasingly U.S. cities, and you will see that some of the best hotels, some of the finest restaurants are located in what was a church building. Talk to most seminary presidents. I've talked to five in the last week, and their common refrain is fewer and fewer folks are applying to seminary. Well, it seems to me to be obvious. Why apply to serve a church that's dead? Or in the most optimistic circles on life support, why fly red banners and sing Pentecost hymns today when we should be wearing black and singing songs of lament? Now, it's true that there are some things in the church that need to die. From some of its arcane and mean theology to its frequent lockstep with prejudice and racism in the name of sweet Jesus, to its repeated obsession with matters that matter little. It's not without a wealth of irony that I am preaching in a church today when in reality we've been told again and again the church is dead. Well, before you and I are tempted to join the chorus of death, remember we have just come off of that long liturgical stretch called Easter. And if Easter means something more than chocolate bunnies and an annual dose of false hope for desperate preachers of booming crowds, it means that God has the last word when it comes to who and what is to be pronounced dead in the world. If the Pentecost story in Acts, that was read very beautifully today, by the way, is clear about anything, it is clear that God brings to life some pretty dead or frightened individuals and communities. In Romans 8, Paul suggests that any death call for God or for the church is radically premature. Paul offers us instead a much more evocative image. It's a markedly female image, but one that many males have witnessed close up. It is the image of labor pains. And Paul uses that image for both creation and for God's creatures. Paul tells the Romans that God is bringing something to birth in the Christian community and in the world, and it will not happen without excruciating consequence. Lutheran pastor Heidi Newmark uses the Spanish term malabriga to describe the term Paul uses in Romans 8. Paul says, we know the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And Heidi writes, in both pregnancies, I suffered a bad case of what the Puerto Rican mothers in the church called malabriga, which translates as evil belly, and seems more to the point than the comparatively benign English equivalent. At the time of her two pregnancies, Heidi was the pastor of the Transfiguration Lutheran Church in the Bronx. It was a church that, when she arrived, looked like many of the dead and dying churches you see on the front cover of your bulletin today. There was nothing transfiguring about Transfiguration Lutheran Church. It was dying, and had Heidi accepted what was apparent, she would have pronounced last rites and given the church a good funeral. Instead, Heidi believed that her church was hardly dying, but was suffering a wicked case of Malabariga. In her marvelous book, Breathing Space, Heidi tells the story of what God gave birth to in that congregation in the face of so much death and dying. Writing about morning sickness in her pregnancy and the new life being born at Transfiguration, Heidi writes, "The doctor happily assured me that my belly was not cursed. On the contrary, the prodigious hormone level was a healthy sign of strong new life taking hold. This Malabariga was a sign of blessing." Heidi refused to see the church as dying. Neither do I. Heidi refused to be a prophetess of doom, nor will I. So at this time, I would like our ushers to pass out replacement bulletin covers. And as they do so, I'd like for you to look at the old bulletin cover one more time. Give it a good look. Because if you give it a good look, it is really depressing. And now I want you to look at the new bulletin cover that has just been passed to you. Notice that it does not portray dying structures. It portrays faces, images of the living church, a church admittedly sometimes suffering from a fierce case of Malabariga, but nonetheless a church that God is bringing to birth despite all the narratives to the contrary. Now, some pictures on the new bulletin cover you will recognize immediately. Others require a bit of explanation, so allow me. Pope Francis, like Paul, like Heidi, is someone who never underestimates what God is bringing to pass in a broken and despairing world in church, despite terrible and painful resistance. Tell Francis that the church is dead, and he'll give you one of those impish smiles of someone who knows far more than all of the prognosticators combined, who recognizes Malabariga when he sees it, and then he kneels down to wash a Muslim's feet. He gives daily witness to Christians of all stripes of a church that God is bringing to birth, often with a loud birthing cry. The picture of people of all ages and colors and denominations kneeling in prayer is from the Tizay community in France. Three times a day, every day of the year, people gather in sung and spoken prayer. They do not see prayer as the last-ditch efforts of Christians when all else has failed. Instead, they see prayer as the beginning of being quiet long enough to listen for the birth cries of the people of God. And the oftentimes Malabariga-type prayers of the Tizay communities, Christians align themselves with Paul's profound words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Prayers of the church God is bringing to birth, propel us out into the world as agents of God's grace and mercy, justice and advocacy. Zoom in a little bit in the bulletin cover and you will see Columbia Theological Seminary students. for whom the prevailing image, the church is dead, has been drilled into their heads. These students choose to believe otherwise. Choose to believe that our Easter God is doing something new, something extraordinary. Choose to believe that the Pentecost Spirit is bringing the church to new life. Students at seminary are not there to train as hospice chaplains for a church on life support, but as labor and delivery nurses for a church God is bringing to birth. One picture familiar to many of you, but not everyone, is a picture of Katie Basher, who died a few weeks ago and died far too soon. Katie and her husband, Mark, have been the moving forces behind the Central Night Shelter for the past 36 years. I include Katie's photo as a tribute to someone who the Apostle Paul would never have needed to convince about what God is bringing to birth. Katie knew that God does not intend for God's creatures to have no safe shelter and to be subject to the whims of the weather and victims of political leaders who have absolutely no use for the poor. She also knew that until God's great birthing project is complete, that she was going to exercise radical hospitality and would not be a part of any church that decided for financial, security, or convenience sake that there is no room in the inn. The most recent pictures are from the dedication of a church in the village of Trujac in the mountains of the island of Laganav off the coast of Haiti. Dedicated to the memory of Margaret and Howard Montgomery, two of the most courageously, outrageously generous and welcoming people I have ever known. This church is a new locus for worship and learning, job training and community building, and admittedly one of the poorest and most forgotten locales of the world. Ask Monsieur Bellegarde, the community leader in Trujac, if the church is dead, and he will give you a hearty laugh, and he will bring you inside this new glorious temple, and he will point to the children and the youth, the adults who have walked for miles and miles to be there, and he will tell you a first world fantasy. What pictures would you add to change the narrative that too many in our society and too many in the church have reached that the church is dead? What pictures would you paste onto this new bulletin cover that gives powerful witness to the risen Christ and what the moving Spirit of God is bringing to birth, despite all of the current harbingers of hate and prognosticators of death? God is dead. The church is dead. Paul has no patience with such theological nonsense. And if we look beyond the images of the old bulletin, neither will we. The church may be suffering an especially bad case of Malabariga, but it is from this suffering and struggle and transition that God is bringing a new church, a transformed church, to birth. Now, feel free to take the old bulletin covers with you, or at least recycle them. But it's the new bulletin cover that I want you to paste to your refrigerator and hold close to your heart. The new bulletin cover is a visual testimony of what Paul shares with the Romans when he declares, I consider that the suffering of this present time not worth comparing with the joy about to be revealed to us. Friends, the church is dead. Not a chance. Not even close. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta, across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries of Central Presbyterian, we invite you to visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers that seeks to be bearers of God's love and justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.